Hello, I'm author Carnigaldin. Welcome to the next instalment of Wolf of the Plains.
When he woke, it was still light, and there was no sound near him but the river itself. But Eluk would not give up. If the first hunt failed, he would send the entire tribe out to search, and they would find him. There was only one place to go. As the sun set, Temujin staggered to his feet, shivering so powerfully it felt as if he would shake himself apart. The torches of the camp were far away, but when his legs failed, he crawled. He knew the gear he wanted, and thanked the Sky Father that it was close to the edge of the quiet camp. He lay for a long time, watching for the slightest movement. After an age, Temujin reached out to touch the felt wall of a gear with something like ecstasy. Clouds hid the stars as he pushed open the door, closing it behind him, and standing, panting, in the deeper dark within.
"Who is it?"
he heard a woman ask. He heard a rustle of blankets and another deeper voice.
"Who is there?" Basan said.
"Temujin,"
he whispered. Silence greeted his name, and he waited, knowing his life hung in the balance. He heard the strike of flint on steel, the flash lighting their faces for an instant. Basan's wife and children were all awake, and Temujin could only stare dully at them while Basan lit an oil lamp.
"You cannot stay here," Basan's wife said.
Temujin saw the fear in her face, but he turned in mute appeal to his father's bondsman. Basan shook his head.
"They are looking for you."
"Hide me, then, until the search is over," Temujin replied. "I claim guest rights."
He did not hear an answer, and he slumped suddenly, the last of his strength vanishing.
"We cannot send him away," he heard Basan tell his wife. "Not to be killed."
"He will kill us all," she said.
Blearily, Temujin watched Basan cross the gear to her, holding her face in both his hands.
"Make him tea and something to eat. I will do this for his father."
Temujin felt himself lifted in Basan's strong arms, and darkness overwhelmed him. Eluk did not think to search the gears of the families. At the end of the fourth day, with no sign of the fugitive, Basan returned to Temujin to report that Arslan and his son had also vanished, and Eluk was beside himself with rage. Temujin could barely remember the first 2 days. A fever had set in. Basan's wife had tended him with stern efficiency, bathing away the worst of the remaining filth and the blood and pus with a cloth dipped in boiled arrag. He had groaned at her touch, and had a memory of her hand over his mouth to stifle the sound. Basan had left to join the other men each morning, after stern warnings to his 2 sons not to say a word to anyone. They watched Temujin with owlish curiosity, frightened by the stranger who bore such awful wounds. By the end of a week, Eluk ordered the families to continue north, leaving the pit and their bad luck behind them. Basan took a late watch from midnight until dawn, seeing a chance to spirit Temujin out of the camp at last. Though it was fraught with danger, Temujin would be discovered when the gears were dismantled, so it was that night or nothing. Basan waited as close to midnight as he could, leaving the top felt off the gear and peering up at the stars as they crept across the bowl of sky above. As a result, they were all shivering by the time he judged the tribe was as quiet and still as it was going to get. He brought a small black mare to the door of his gear, tying on saddlebags of food. Temujin struggled to find words to express his gratitude. He had nothing to give even the children, and he felt ashamed for the burden and fear he had brought into their home.
"My father's spirit watches us," he murmured. "You do him honor in saving me." "Walk with me now," Basan said. "Do not speak to anyone, and they will think you are another of the guards on the hills."
He held open the door, and Temujin ducked through it, wincing at the pain from his scabs. He wore a clean tunic and leggings under a padded winter deal. Beneath the thick layers, the worst of his wounds were heavily bandaged. Basan walked deliberately slowly through the encampment, and no one challenged them. When the camp of the wolves was far behind, and they were hidden in the shadow of a hill, he pressed the pony's reins into Temujin's hands.
"I have wrapped my second bow and placed it here," he said,
patting a bundle tied to the saddle.
"Lead her on foot until you are far away, or the watchers will hear your hooves."
Temujin nodded,
reaching out to clasp the bondsman by his arm. "Watch for me on the horizon, Basan. I have scores to settle with the wolves." Basan looked at him, seeing again the determination that reminded him chillingly of Yesuge when he was young. "That is your father talking," he said, shivering suddenly. Temujin clapped him on the shoulder. "When you see me again, I promise your family will be safe." Temujin's heart soared as Arslan dismounted and walked towards him, raising his hands. The meaning was clear, and Temujin raised his bow in response. Though it rubbed his bloody scabs away, he had ridden for 5 days, sunset to sunset, until he had seen the two men guiding their ponies down a steep hill. By then he knew he could trust them. Temujin watched Arslan's sure step on the springy grass. He walked as Yesuge had walked, and the memory brought a sudden pain that never reached Temujin's face. "I knew you would escape," Arslan said, smiling gently. "I see you have found yourself a fine mare."
"She was a present from a man who remembered my father," Temujin said stiffly. "But tell me, what do you think will happen here?"
Arslan chuckled. "I think you will wave to my son to join us, and we will sit and share our food. As the camp is ours, I grant you guest rights."
Temujin cleared his throat. "Why did you help me?" he asked.
Arslan looked up. Yesuge would have been proud of such a son, he thought. "I swore my oath to your father, Temujin. You are his eldest surviving son."
Temujin's eyes glinted. "You do not know me."
Arslan became very still. "I do not, but I am not a man who stands by. Even if I had not met your father, I would have pulled you out of that pit."
Temujin flushed. I'm grateful that you did."
"We will not talk of it," Arslan said. "For now, I will say you do not know me, but you will learn my word is iron."
"Your father used to say that.
It drew me to him. If you are half the man he was, my son and I will take oath to you and bind ourselves in honor to your line."
Temujin stared back at the man, sensing the quiet strength in him. "I have no tribe, nor wealth, nor anything but my own family in hiding," Temujin said. "I have nothing to offer you. If you choose to ride on, I will make my own way back to them and still bless you for your help."
"You said you were the land and the bones of the hills," Arslan said softly. "I will follow you."
"Call your son to me then," Temujin said. He did not want to begin to hope, but he had been changed in his captivity. He could no longer be satisfied with mere survival. He looked down at Arslan, and he imagined a trail of fire and blood across the tribes that would end in the gares of the wolves. He had seen it in the darkest days in the pit. While the flies had buzzed around him, his imagination had been in flames. As Jelme approached, Temujin dismounted and hobbled to the two men.
"If you will call me Khan, your will is no longer yours," he said, remembering his father speaking the same words. "Kneel to me."
Both Jelme and his father went down on one knee, and Temujin pressed his damaged hands on their heads.
"I ask you for salt, milk, horses, gears, and blood."
"They are yours, my Khan," both men said together.
"Then you are kin, and we are of one tribe," Temujin said, surprising them. "I call you brothers, and we are one people."
Both Arslan and Jelme raised their heads, struck by his tone and everything it meant. The wind picked up, rushing down from the mountains. Temujin turned his head in the direction of where his family would be hiding. He knew he could find his tribe among men scorned by all the others, among the wanderers and the herdsmen. They had been cast out, and many would hunger, as he did, for a tribe.
"It has begun here," Temujin whispered. "I have had enough of hiding. Let them hide from me."
Kassar waited in the deep snow, his face numb despite the covering of mutton fat. His brothers seemed to have forgotten, but this was his 16th birthday. He had been there a long time and he was cold and weary. He wondered if he would find himself a woman in the Tatar camp as he stared at it over 100 paces of white ground. The wind was bitter, and the clouds scudded by at great speed overhead,
driven like pale goats before a storm. A distant movement caught Kassar's wandering thoughts. There was activity in the camp. He could see running figures. When the wind dropped, he could hear shouting. He nodded to himself. Temujin had attacked. Now they would know if it really was only a small group of Tatars, or the ambush Arslan had warned about. The Tatars had offered a blood price for the small group of raiders who had come north into their lands. If anything, it helped Temujin to recruit warriors from the Wanderer families, taking their wives and children into his protection and treating them with honor. The Tatars were helping Temujin to build himself a tribe out in the icy wastes. Kassar heard the flat smack of arrows being released. It did not matter. Temujin had told him to lie at that point with a white blanket over him, and that is what he would do. Kassar narrowed his eyes as two figures came racing out of the camp. He recognized Temujin and Jelme and saw that they were sprinting with bows and shafts ready. Behind them came six Tatars in their furs, baying in pursuit. Kassar did not hesitate. His brother and Jelme belted past, and he rose up from the snow like a vengeful demon, drawing back to his right ear as he moved. Two arrows killed two men. The rest skidded to a stop in panic and confusion. As Temujin and Jelme heard his bow, they turned, punching arrows into the remaining Tatars. Kassar had time for one last shot. The Tatar warrior pulled at the shaft through his pale throat and almost had it out before he fell. Kassar shuddered as the man died. The Tatars wore deals much like his own people, but the men of the north were white-skinned and strange and seemed to feel no pain. Still, they died as easily as sheep. Temujin and Jelme recovered the arrows from the bodies, cutting them out with quick chops of their knives. It was bloody work, and Temujin's face was spattered as he handed Kassar half a dozen shafts. Without a word, he clapped his brother on the shoulder, and they dog-trotted back into the Tatar camp.
"No ambush, Arslan!"
Temujin called. The swordsmith shrugged. It did not mean it could not come. It meant, this time, it had not. He had argued against them raiding so often into Tatar lands. It made a trap too easy to set. Arslan watched the young Khan stride among the gares of dead men. The wailing of women had started, and Temujin was grinning at the sound. It signified victory for all of them. Arslan looked up into the softly falling snow. He had lived for 40 winters and fathered 2 sons dead and 1 alive, and he had never known a man as remorseless as the son of Yesuge, and Temujin was barely 18 years old.
"You'll freeze to death standing still, swordsmith."
Arslan turned to see the still figure of Kachiyun. Temujin's brother maintained a quiet intensity that gave nothing away. He could certainly move silently, Arslan admitted to himself, and he had seen him shoot.
"I don't feel the cold," Arslan lied, forcing a smile.
Kachiyun had not warmed to him the way Kassar had, but the natural reserve was slowly thawing. Arslan had seen the same coldness in many of the newcomers to Temujin's camp. They came because Temujin accepted them, but old habits were hard to break for men who had lived so long away from a tribe. The winters were too cruel to trust easily and live. Arslan knew enough to see that Temujin chose his companions on the raids very carefully indeed. Some needed constant reassurance, and Temujin let Kassar handle those, with his rough ways and humor. Others would not give up their simmering doubts until they had seen Temujin risk his life at their shoulder. But raid after raid, they saw that he was so completely without fear that he would walk up to drawn swords and know he would not be alone.
"Will he raid again?" Arslan asked suddenly. "The Tatars will not stand for this much longer."
Kachiyun shrugged. "Temujin says they are dull and slow in winter. We can go on like this for months more."
"But you know better than that, surely," Arslan said. "They will draw us in with a fat target and men hidden in every gear. Wouldn't you? Sooner or later we are going to walk into a trap."
To his astonishment, Kachiyun grinned at him. "They are just Tatars. We can take as many as they want to send against us."
"It could be thousands if you provoke them all winter," Arslan said. "The moment the thaw comes, they could send an army."
"I hope so," Kachiyun said. "Temujin thinks it's the only way to get the tribes to band together. He says we need an enemy and a threat to the land." "I believe him."
Kachiyun patted Arslan on the shoulder as if in consolation before strolling away in the snow. The swordsmith allowed the touch out of sheer astonishment. He didn't have a tiger by the tail after all. He had it by the ears, with his head in its mouth.
A figure came padding by him, and he heard the only voice he loved.
Father, you'll freeze out here,
Jelmy said. Aslan sighed.
I've heard the opinion, yes. I am not as old as you all seem to think.
Jelmy was drunk on the victory, his eyes shining. As Aslan's heart swelled for his son, he saw the young man could hardly stand still. Somewhere nearby, Temujin would be holding his war council once again, planning the next assault on the tribe who had killed his father. Each one was more daring than the last, and the nights were often wild with drinking and captured women. Aslan could not begrudge his son the company of his new friends.
Did you take a wound? He asked.
Jelmy smiled, showing small white teeth. Not a scratch.
Jelmy stepped forward to grip his father by the arm.
Aslan wondered if he had taken the habit of physical contact from Temujin. For one of the swordsmith's generation, it was an intrusion. Not from his son, though. He loved him too much.
Do you want me to stay with you? Jelmy asked.
Aslan had to snort with barely suppressed laughter, tinged with sadness. They were so arrogant it pained him, these young men. I will walk the perimeter of the camp and make sure there are no surprises to spoil my sleep tonight, Aslan said.
Go!
Jelmy chuckled, his excitement bubbling back to the surface. He ran off between the white gears to where Aslan could hear the sound of revelry. The Tatars would respond, whether Temujin understood it or not. They could not afford to ignore the raids. In the east, the great cities of the Qin would have their spies out, looking always for weakness in their enemies. As he walked around the camp, he found two other men doing the same thing, and adjusted his view of Temujin yet again. The young warrior listened, Aslan had to admit, though he didn't like to ask for help. It was worth remembering. As he crunched his way through the deepening snow, Aslan heard sobbing coming from a thicket near the outskirts of the Tatar Gares. He hadn't reached 40 years of age without sensible caution, so Aslan had his sword drawn when he looked on the face of a young woman half his age. With a pleased grin, he sheathed the blade and pulled her to her feet. He chuckled low in his throat.
You'll need someone to warm you in your blankets tonight, girl. You'd be better off with me than one of the younger ones, I should think. Men of my age have less energy for a start.
To his immense pleasure, the young woman giggled. Aslan guessed she wasn't kin of the dead men, though he reminded himself to keep his knives well hidden if he intended to sleep. He'd heard of more than one man killed by a sweetly smiling capture. Temujin clenched a fist in pleasure as he heard the tallies of the dead. There were too many for a hunting trip, especially in the heart of winter. Kachyun thought they had probably been a raiding party. We'll drive the ponies back with us, Temujin told his companions. The arag was being passed round, and the mood was jubilant. Unless the snow covered a few, we have 27 dead, including the old lady Kachyun shot.
She was coming at me with a knife, Kachyun replied, nettled. If you'd seen her, you'd have taken the shot as well.
Thank the spirits you weren't hurt then, Temujin replied, with a straight face.
Kachyun rolled his eyes as some of the other men chuckled. Temujin turned to Jelmy. I imagine your father is checking the camp?
Jelmy nodded.
I would expect no less, Temujin said. He is a thorough man. He may be the best of us all.
Jelmy's pleasure was clear, and Temujin signaled to the old Tatar woman to serve the stew. She gave him a large portion.
Thank you, old mother, Temujin said, ladling it into his mouth. This is good. I do not think I've ever tasted anything better than another man's food, eaten in his own gear. If I had his beautiful wife and daughters to entertain me, I would have it all.
His companions chuckled as they received their own hot food and laid into it, eating like wild animals. Some of them had lost almost all traces of civilization in their years away from a tribe, but Temujin valued that ferocity. If he told them to kill, they killed until they were red to the elbows, regardless of who stood in their way.
So what next, when we finish counting our new horses and gears? Kachyun asked his brother, interrupting his thoughts.
Jelmy can handle the next raid, Temujin said.
Aslan's son looked up from his meal with his mouth open.
I want you to be a hammer, Temujin told him. They're not Mongols as we are. Let the Tatars fear us as we grow.
You have something else in mind? Kachyun asked.
Temujin nodded.
It is time to return to the Ulkunut and claim my wife. You need a good woman. Kasar says he needs a bad one. We all need children to carry on the line.
His yellow eyes were unblinking as he turned to Jelmy.
While I am gone, it will be your task to make the Tatars bleed and fear the spring.